friends. Isn't it fascinating how relationships bring us immense joy, but also profound heartache? They're a dance of emotions, yet how often do we truly, deeply, consciously invest in the relationship we have with ourselves and loved ones? That investment, that time, and that energy is the most powerful gift you could ever bestow upon yourself and those you love. As life didn't give us a manual on handling emotions and communication challenges, we also weren't taught the art of building romantic ties or how to deeply love and value ourselves. But I'm here to share more life-affirming, relationship-enhancing wisdom with you all. And now you can also find this transformational content pouring onto Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. Dive into the show notes to connect with all the magic. Here's for growth, love, and endless learning.
Welcome to this video on learning how to say no and setting healthy boundaries. I'm so happy you're here because looking after ourselves is essential for a happy, healthy life. And many people I help struggle with setting healthy boundaries, either because they let their fear of abandonment drive them, they're scared to be alone, they're scared that if they say no, that people may not like them or judge them or reject them, and they're scared to lose people in their life. Or sometimes it's because they don't feel that they're worthy of putting themselves first. And a lot of other people that I work with, they have a guilt on spending money on themselves, a guilt of putting their own needs first, a guilt of saying no. So do you find yourself saying yes to people even when you really want to say no? Are you someone who tends to people please? Keep on pleasing everybody else, putting the needs of others above your own needs? Is having people like you really important to you, that it worries you if people may not view you in a good way? Is your instant response to people is to say, yes, I'll do it, even when you haven't even processed what someone's asking you? If you've said yes to any of those questions, this is for you. Dr. Gabor Maté, an expert in addiction, trauma, childhood development, he talks about the relationship between stress and illness, emphasizing the significance of learning to say no. His insights are particularly relevant for those who struggle with setting healthy boundaries, often driven by this sense of unworthiness that I was talking about, or that sense of not belonging, fearing rejection. Gabor argues that the people-pleasing tendency often stems from an automatic response to prioritize the needs of others above one's own. Such behavior can lead to significant stress, and Maté suggests that physical and mental health issues arise from that stress. In his 1993 medical journal article, Maté proposes a powerful idea that when we are unable to verbally express our refusal or unable to express our boundaries, our bodies may say no for us. They may do it for us. This concept suggests the inability to assert oneself and say no can manifest as physical symptoms or diseases. Essentially, when we suppress our true responses, our true feelings, when we're not authentic to ourselves, our bodies react by creating disease in the body as a way of signaling that something is amiss. This perspective underscores the importance of self-awareness and self-care in maintaining health and well-being. Recognizing and honoring our own needs and boundaries is not just a psychological necessity, but also a physical one. By learning to say no and asserting your own needs, we can prevent the negative impact of stress and emotional suppression on our bodies. If you resonate with these challenges, then I really hope that this is going to help you to take a significant step towards a more healthy and balanced life. I recently facilitated a breakthrough intensive with Anna, who was running around doing everything for everyone else. She was a classic case of people pleasing, and shared with me that she really struggled to say no to people and compulsively took on the needs of others before her own. Although she was saying yes to everyone, she was feeling very resentful towards them for asking her. When her phone pinged with messages, she felt stressed and she wanted to scream at them, "Leave me alone!" She was annoyed at them for taking advantage of her inability to say no, even though she was not actively doing anything to make the situation better herself. Therefore, she was also angry at herself. She was angry at them, she was angry at her phone, she was angry at herself for not being able to take control of the situation. Eventually, her body started to show signs of not being at ease, dis-ease. She was experiencing extreme fatigue and developed aches and pains. She was often falling ill with stomach bugs, colds, and had really limiting headaches, limiting her ability to do her day-to-day tasks. But what caused the most pain was really her stomach, always in knots. Even after she ate lightly, her stomach would always be churning. We explored the root causes of her need to people please. Her father was an alcoholic, so the whole family were walking on eggshells. They never knew what version of him they might get, if he would be happy and fun and caring, if he'd be angry and aggressive, or if he'd be falling all over the place. She saw her mum do everything to please everyone. She saw how her mum covered up for her dad, how her mum pushed her own feelings down and put up with it. She saw her mum working really hard to bring in the money. As a result, Anna grew up believing in order to survive, you just need to get on with things and push your emotions down. Her needs were neglected. Her mother was busy and preoccupied, as you can imagine, and Anna didn't want to bother her mother. Her father, she was barely connected to because of his alcoholism. So she had this sense of not feeling good enough. She felt, if only I was a better child, perhaps they would love me more. Perhaps I'd get to play with them and be with them. And so she just set out to try and do everything she could to be loved by them. Being responsible, looking after herself, looking after her sibling. In order to be loved, she needed to give, and take care of others, and take care of herself. And this pattern continued as an adult, giving, and putting herself last. After the clearing, I helped her incorporate techniques to start saying no to others, and yes to herself. Following the breakthrough intensive session, she sent me an email sharing how alive she felt, and that since working with me, she was beginning to finally feel the love for herself, rather than knowing intellectually to love yourself. She was living it. She was putting herself first and being kind to herself. The way that she spoke to herself had rapidly changed. She couldn't believe how powerful changing that inner self-talk could really be. Her energy levels also skyrocketed. The more she said no, the better she felt. The guilt had left her. Because I reminded her in the breakthrough program that if you look up guilt in the English dictionary, it means intending to harm somebody. So unless you're deliberately intending to harm somebody, you have no reason to feel guilty. So putting yourself first isn't a reason to feel guilty or to carry guilt. We also worked on her fear of abandonment, as she was scared of what others would do if she started saying no. So we worked on strategies and tools to help overcome other people's reactions. So why do we struggle to say no? William Urey, author of The Power of a Positive No, stated that people struggle to say no to others because there's an underlying fear of disturbing or breaking down relationships. People who always say yes to everyone want others to feel happy, and in some cases they might genuinely want to help. But either it's not possible or not realistic to agree to something, but they do it anyway. Society will have you believe that in order to be a good friend or a good family member, you need to be available at all times when others need you. This feeds into our inability to say no, when we really can't agree to something, but in order to be a good person, we should say yes. A lot of people that I've worked with also mention how they struggle to say no because they wish that others would do it for them. They wish that others wouldn't expect what they expect because they don't expect that from others. Or some people, they give to receive. They think, well, if I do this for them, then they'll help me out. However, when you have that energy of I'm giving to receive something, you're setting the same standard for their relationship with you, and it creates this negative cycle. The best way to build healthy relationships is to, yes, care and love and do things for others, as long as it's not at a sacrifice of your own health, your own well-being, your own needs. When you learn to say no, it's so powerful because with that, you're saying yes to yourself and you're giving yourself that subconscious message that I'm worth it. I deserve to look after myself. I am worthy of having my own needs met. After Anna did the breakthrough, she changed these beliefs. She released the guilt, the unworthiness. Her health and happiness rapidly increased. And she began to discover who she really is. She couldn't believe that at 42, when we first started this, she felt lost. She lost herself in her marriage. She lost herself in her family life. She lost herself looking after her in-laws and her own parents and worrying about everybody else. And this was a real freedom for her to say, let me put myself first and then I'll be able to help and give to them. So let's just pause for a moment. I want to ask you a question. Are you saying yes to yourself more than you're saying yes to everyone else? By everyone else, I mean work, family, romantic partner. Saying no to others is saying yes to yourself, as it shows you respect yourself. When you say no to doing something that you don't want to commit to, you're reminding yourself that your wants and needs are just as important as others. You're respecting yourself and listening to what you truly feel. This allows you to be 100% honest with those around you, so that your relationship with others is more genuine. It also allows you to take care of yourself and others better, because when you constantly say yes to others, you'll notice that you're spreading yourself thin, that you may carry that resentment, feeling, well, what about me, but you keep on doing it, your energy may be drained. And sadly, I've seen marriages break down because one person is doing everything, either doing everything for the children and their husband or wife, and they've lost themselves because everything is about their family, or they're looking after their extended family, or they're running around trying to solve their friends' problems and neglecting their spouse. Being everything to everyone means you can end up not being helpful to anyone at all, especially yourself. It's draining to be giving all the time. When you start saying no to others, it frees up time for you to look after yourself. When you nurture yourself, you have more energy, more love, and attention to give to others. So setting healthy boundaries. Setting healthy boundaries is when you say no to others, but you first of all need to work out what your boundaries are. When you set boundaries and stick to them, you can prevent feeling resentment, frustration, hurt. Mark, I worked with, was always saying yes to everyone at work. He was known as the consultant across the whole business that whenever you need anything done, just ask Mark. Mark had no boundaries for himself. Managers, junior staff, clients, all asked him to do tasks because he always replied yes and did them quickly. He would stay late at work, he would work weekends, he would fulfill all of their different demands. When he came to me, he was really close to burnout. All his life, he'd been just saying yes, 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 especially in the workplace. And he hated his work for it. He got irritated with clients. He found it annoying that even junior staff would give him work. And he felt so depleted. He was so depleted that his sex drive had gone for many years. He didn't have the energy to be intimate with his partner. His enjoyment of life had plummeted. And I asked him, Mark, do you feel sometimes that life isn't worth living? And he said, yes. Sometimes I think if I just get to retirement, then I'll be happy. Or if I manage to save up enough and then start my own business, then I'll be happy. This is one of the several signs he was showing of mild depression. I asked him, how far away is your retirement? 20 years, he said. I said, wow, that's a long time to live unhappily. Would you like to change that? And of course he said, absolutely. So we began clearing out his low self-esteem, finding the source of it, getting to the root of it, and changing the negative voice that he had in his head, beating himself up all the time, telling him that he wasn't good enough, telling him that he had to be the way that he was to get far in life. You see, he had adopted a belief, I need to prove myself. He always had to prove himself with his parents, and he was also heavily bullied at school. He felt like an outsider. He felt scared of people. He so wanted to fit in and belong, which is why he couldn't say no. Which is why in the workplace, he did everything to make everyone else happy. But when we set boundaries, when I said to Mark, you've got to stop saying no to all these other extra tasks that you're doing at work. Leave work on time a few times a week. That was his first challenge. And to say no to everybody that asked him for work apart from his direct boss and the clients. But even if he said yes to them, giving them a realistic time when he could complete the work without him having to work and give up his weekend. When he realised that he had this ingrained belief that he had to prove himself, that he had a fear of not belonging, that he would do anything to fit in and to be liked, and this came from his childhood, he was able to realise, I don't need to be like this anymore. I don't have to prove myself to anyone. I don't have to delay my happiness anymore. And he started saying no. And it was transformational. He actually got a lot more respect in the workplace. People began reacting differently to him. Of course, there were a few ruffles at first when he was saying no. And he said to them, look, I can do your work. I don't have the bandwidth at the moment. It's going to take 8 weeks. And one time someone said to him, well, can't you work and do it all on the weekends? Can't you do it every evening this week? And he said, excuse me? Just for that person to really hear what they're saying and to repeat it back. And then the person said, no, don't worry, I'll find someone. So if you can't say no, look at the reason. What is the reason that you can't say no? People that I've worked with, it's been bullying, anxiety, fear of being alone, rejection, low self-esteem, dysfunctional childhood, being rejected in relationships, being compared to others, or comparing yourself to others. That's a sure way to hurt and beat up yourself. Karen that came to me wanted to release a sense that she had to look after her family. Being the eldest in the family, the eldest of the four children, it was conditioned in her that she had to look after her younger brother and two sisters. She would look after their activities. She would make sure that they're emotionally, mentally and financially okay. It was a huge burden that she had just accepted. When she had tried to say no in the past without changing her inner thoughts and beliefs, it backfired. She was met with coldness, anger and hostility. But you always do that. But this is what you do. This was the reaction of her husband and her mother and even one of her sisters. With my support, we worked out what she really enjoyed, what she valued in life, what was important for her to experience, what would work for her, what's best for her health, what would she like to spend her time doing, and then communicate that to others. It may be really difficult to stick to your boundaries in a relationship when you really love someone or when they're pushing and testing them. For those of you that have had teenagers, you know that part of growing up is they're testing and pushing the boundaries. And it's a challenge. If you just allow them to have everything they want, then they'll end up controlling you, which sometimes parents come to me and that is the case. They don't know how to say no to their children. And that massively affects their relationship and their own happiness. So it can be difficult at first, but that doesn't mean you need to give up. Who do you need to start saying no to? Who do you need to communicate, look, I'm happy to do this for you, however, I'm going to do it in my time, my schedule, and this is how much I can give. I had another couple that came to me for their relationship, and I soon realised that one of the main problems in their relationship was their lack of quality time that they had alone together, despite being retired, because they were always looking after their grandchildren. And one of them kept saying yes to their children, that they would look after all the grandchildren. And the other person in the relationship was like, I don't want to be spending our retirement looking after our grandchildren, picking them up from school, feeding them, clothing them, looking after them all the time. We didn't retire to be babysitters. And the other in the relationship said, well, I can't say no. It's our children. It's our grandchildren. I don't want to lose contact with them. I'm scared if we say no, then they might not let us have our grandchildren again. So it was really important to work out how to speak to their children, how to communicate that they would absolutely love to look after their grandchildren at certain times in the week, and certain times of the week that they couldn't, that they had their own activities, and that they needed time to recharge because their energy was going really low. They were exhausting themselves. And this really had a positive impact on their interactions with their grandchildren, because when they had them less, the time was far more high quality, they were more present, they were more engaged, because they had a lot more rest and recuperation time in between. So as saying no isn't easy for many people, here are some tips. The first is to take time to respond. A lot of people tend to agree to things instantly and then regret later on. Why did I say that? Why did I do that? I didn't really want to go. I don't really want to do this. So I encourage people to say, instead of saying yes, to say, can I get back to you on that? Or let me check. Let me just check something. I'll come back to you. Oh, that day rings a bell for some reason. Let me check, and I'll get back to you. Give yourself a pause. Take time to respond. This gives you the chance to go and check in with yourself and avoid being pushed into something or agreeing to something that you don't want to do. It takes the pressure off you, and then you're able to formulate a response that conveys what you really feel and want to do in the best way possible. So then you can respond, actually, those days I'm busy, I would love to help you, however, I don't really have that much time to give. You can pop over for an hour if you'd like to talk through this, or if you'd like help with this, then I can come for 2 hours on this day. Sharing what you think you can do, or simply saying no. And I really recommend that you just say, I've checked and I'm unable to do it. I'm unable to do it, and you know the reason why. I'm unable to do it because actually I'm going to look after myself. Actually, I feel like doing nothing this weekend. Actually, it's too stressful for me right now. You don't have to say the reason, you just say, I've checked, I'm unable to make it. Don't give a reason, you don't have to give a reason. If you just say, I can't, I'm unable, I hope you get it sorted, I hope you find someone, I hope you manage to handle it, you're saying, this is why. Because if you give an excuse, then they may try to address your excuse. We'll say, well, you can do that another time, or you don't need to rest, you can rest in 2 weeks' time, or they can argue with your reason. So I really believe you don't need to give a reason. Offer alternatives. If you really want to help the person, but they've suggested something that is too much or too demanding or doesn't meet what you want to do, then you can make an alternative suggestion. So let's say, for example, someone helps you to pack up their whole house and help them move house, and that's what they want you to do, and be there for them for a few days to do that. You can say, look, I really can't do that. However, I don't mind coming over once you've got all the stuff moved in, and I can help you do the kitchen for a couple of hours. Or I'll help you with your bedroom, or whatever it is. Just, you can offer something small. This sets the tone, and it's on your terms and your time. Also, avoid apologising. Helping others is not a responsibility. It's so important that you do not keep apologising if there's something that you can't do. Instead of saying, I'm really sorry, I can't, you can say, oh, what a shame. Unfortunately, that coincides with another commitment of mine. Is there another time that I can help? If you want to help at another time. Or you can say that, I'd love to help you, I'm not able to. Don't have to say, I feel terrible, I'm sad, I feel bad, I can't help, I'm so sorry. Because this can indicate that you've done something wrong, and it can change the tone of the conversation. I also really want to emphasize that you really believe that self-care is not a reward, it's a necessity. For years I was caught in the trap of feeling that only when I had achieved enough could I take a break. Only when I had made enough money could I then have a good holiday. Only when I've finished this project can I get to relax at the end of the day. Only when all the house stuff is done can I sit down. Self-care, ideally, is not used as a treat. Self-care is a regular thing that you plug in every day to rest your mind, to relax, to look after yourself. It needs to be a habit. It's not selfish. It needs to be part of your daily and weekly routine to stop you from getting overwhelmed, stressed. It's about balance. And you have to create that balance yourself. You need to put it in your calendar. You need to make your needs for health a priority. It's also important in setting healthy boundaries in your relationships, in learning to say no to others and yes to yourself, to make sure that you work through any fears of being abandoned. Because what really can prevent us from setting healthy boundaries is that overwhelming fear that if I set boundaries, maybe they won't like me anymore, maybe they won't be my friend anymore, maybe they will cut me out of their life. And this is horrible. And the fear of abandonment is a primal fear. It's something we're born with. Because the way that the human evolution works is that we need to belong. We need to feel connected to others. We need to connect to our parents and caretakers for survival. If we're not connected to them, then we wouldn't survive as children. We wouldn't have the food, the clothing, the shelter that we need to be alive. So it's a primal fear to want to belong, to attach. And the fear is often where people have unresolved abandonment wounds. They were neglected by a parent because the parent was so busy with their own issues or work, or they were abandoned if there was abuse, or you can be abandoned as a child if you're left alone a lot. And as I mentioned in one of my podcasts, if you have heard that one, on boarding school can be an abandonment for children. So can being sent to live with a grandparent or another family member. So can divorce when a parent moves out of the home. That can be an abandonment wound. Or when a parent works overseas, works away. So whenever children are emotionally, physically not seen, not heard, they're being abandoned. In the case of abuse, all abuse is abandonment because the child's emotional needs and well-being is not being given to them. And that leads to adulthood patterns of fear of abandonment or self-abandonment. And self-abandonment is where we abandon ourselves. We abandon ourselves by taking care of others and putting everybody else before us. We abandon ourselves by numbing out with whatever our choice of poison is, whether it's numbing out with porn or alcohol or other substances, overpleasing, overworking, overdoing stuff. And then that can lead to patterns of even lower self-esteem and lower confidence. It can also lead to us accepting unbalanced relationships where we're giving and not receiving. Sometimes it's just such an ingrained pattern for people to accept the abuse, to accept that they're less than their partner, that they continue to experience abandonment rather than confronting the behaviour. So how are you going to apply what I've shared today? What can you start to say no to? Self-love is not vain or selfish. It's a deep human need to function healthily and feel good. In the next episode, I'm really going to help you further by going over what relationship abandonment wounds look like, how to overcome the fear of abandonment, how the fear of abandonment can get stronger and stronger over time. And then after that, I'll be talking through self-abandonment patterns so that you can free yourself from this if this is relevant to you. So thank you so much for listening. I'm so excited for you to listen to the next episodes. I'm grateful that you are listening to this because you listening to this shows me that you're wanting to change yourself. You're wanting to change your life. You know that you deserve better on some level. And this is the first step, the awareness and getting it into your mind that looking after yourself, taking care of yourself is important. And you can do that without guilt. So this is the time in the show where I ask you if you've enjoyed this episode, if you like the podcast, if you could give it a like, a rating and review, I'd be so grateful because this helps the algorithms know that the content that I'm putting out there is valuable and it enables more people to get this. So hit the subscribe button, give it a like or review, and until next time, take amazing care of yourself. You deserve your own love and affection more than anyone else.
Dear listeners, today I celebrate you. You are among the few who actively nurture their love journey. It's an act of courage, an act of self-love. And if today's episode resonated with you, be a beacon for others, subscribe, rate, and review. Let's spread this love and wisdom far and wide. Craving more? Discover the free resources at nicolabeer.com. You can also find the links to helpful gifts in the show notes. Do also join our Relationship and Wellness Facebook group. It's a haven where we uplift, support, and journey together towards richer, deeper love stories. Remember, you have the power to craft the love story you deserve. Thank you for being with me today, and until next time, keep shining and loving with all your heart.